Today, we conclude our reflections on resurrection life from the dead. And today, there are two key things we look at. First of all, the realities of Jesus' resurrection. And secondly, our response to resurrection. And here, I don't think I'll be saying anything new. I'll be repeating different bits that I've said over the past few weeks. Having said that, I'm not sure I say anything new ever. It might be new to your ears, but more than once I've had the feeling, you know, I've had some revelations, I've read the word and I've prepared to preach, and I thought, man, this is fantastic. I've never seen this before. I must be the first person who's ever seen it. And I preach it with passion because I think this is fresh and good. And then months later, years later, and this has actually happened to me, I've opened a book on a shelf and thought, that's where I got it from. And it was a book I read years ago and forgot about. So I'm not sure I ever say anything new, but everything I say today certainly will be picking up on things I've said in the last few weeks. And we'll look firstly at the realities of Jesus' resurrection, the facts of the matter, what we need to understand and hold to. And secondly, importantly, our response to resurrection. And here are the headings we're going to have for us today. There we go. The realities of Jesus' resurrection. We'll look briefly at it happened in history since prayer is broken and Jesus is Lord. Concerning our response to resurrection, we'll look at very briefly at baptism, relationship with God, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and repentance. So those three things initially, and then four in terms of our response. The first, the realities of Jesus' resurrection. It happened in history. The Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear in 1 Corinthians 15, the passage that we've just read, if Christ has not been raised, we do not have a gospel. We do not have good news to proclaim, and more than that, we do not have good news from God to receive. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. But the reality is this, the first reality of Jesus' resurrection. It happens in history. It was, as you might think, it was a news event. I don't know how many of you are listeners to the news. I remember my dad had a habit. When he got home from work, we'd have tea and he'd be washing up. And normally it was while he was washing up, just a couple of minutes to seven, he would turn on the radio, Radio 4, and he would get the news headlines. And then what happens after about 5 past 7? What comes on? The Arch. See, you all listened, obviously. But that was my dad's habit. He wanted to know what the news events of the day were. The resurrection of Jesus was a news event. It happened in history. It actually happened. It was not a figment of somebody's imagination. It was not hallucination. It actually happened. And historians recognize that Jesus actually did die by crucifixion. That is accepted, I think, by almost all scholars. I've come across scholars who don't think he was, but his death was by crucifixion. The second thing that is acknowledged by historians is that the disciples were absolutely convicted that he had been raised. The scholars agree the disciples were convinced. They were the ones closest to the event. They could say, no, it wasn't a ghost. It wasn't a hallucination. It happened. We know it happened. It happened to us. Historians also agree that the disciples were completely transformed on the basis of their conviction. Jesus has been raised from the dead. We know it happened. And historians are agreed. The disciples were utterly transformed on the basis of that conviction. And the fourth thing, historians are also completely agreed, the conversion and transformation of Paul. And this is significant for historians because here we have somebody who was against the church. And what brought about his transformation? It was the awareness that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And Paul is able to say, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. It happened in history. That is a reality of Jesus' resurrection. And these four things, I think, when I spoke about the realities, the historical facts concerning the resurrection, I listed 10 historically accepted facts. Here are four of them. And if somebody says to you, what are the key elements by which we believe? Well, it's these four. Jesus, we know he died. We know the disciples were absolutely convicted he was raised. They were transformed. And then the Apostle Paul himself was transformed. So it happened in history. It was a real event. The second thing we note about a reality of the resurrection of Jesus is that sin's power is broken. Why is this important? It is important because the destiny that sin has for each one of us is that we will all one day die. The wages of sin is death. I've told you before about a church in London who had a big notice board outside their church. And they had that scripture. Is it Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they had this big notice board, and they neatly planted some shrubs at the bottom of the notice board. And over time, the shrubs grew. So that all that was exposed was the wages of sin is death. I remember somebody writing to the local paper and referring to the wages of sin is death church. But it's important to note that the wages of sin is death. Sin has a destiny for you. You might never have thought about it before, but sin does have a destiny for you, and it's death. You will one day die. And there's no, in a sense, there's no way out of that. You will die. But we say sin's power has been broken. Why? Because Jesus lived and he died. It was as if sin's destiny for Jesus was complete. But God raised Jesus to life beyond death, breaking the power of sin, so that one man who had died, the full stop at the end of his very good life, became only a comma. Sin's power is broken because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And there is for us the possibility of resurrection. And as we'll see, the only way that for you and I there is a possibility of resurrection, because Jesus lived and he died and he was raised to life beyond death, the only way we can know resurrection is if in some way we can get ourselves inside Jesus. If we can be in Christ. If we can be in Christ and follow in his journey. So just as he lived and he died, if we can be somehow in Christ, we too can be raised to life beyond death. The realities of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Firstly, it happened in history. Secondly, sin's power is broken. Thirdly, Jesus is Lord. The Apostle Paul makes a great deal of this right at the beginning of Romans, declared by the resurrection to be Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. See, in the day when Jesus was crucified and raised, the accepted Lord, literally that was his title, was the Emperor of Rome. And I've said before, crucifixion epitomized his immense and brutal power. Now, I don't know if you would want crucifixion to be the symbol of your power. Well, it was for the empire. That was the ultimate. I guess that was the nuclear bomb. That was the nuclear threat or whatever of the day. The empire could say, you come against us, we will come against you in greater force, and we will crucify you all. And that will be the end. Sin's destiny will be due to you. Crucifixion was the epitome of the emperor's power. But the problem for the empire is that Jesus was raised from the dead. So if you have this empire with all this power, and it's focused in the cross, Jesus is crucified, the end. And then God raises Jesus to life beyond death. What does that say about the immense power of the empire? There is one who is greater and more powerful and higher than the empire. And so Paul is able to declare Jesus is Lord above all dominions and kingdoms and powers. So the realities of Jesus' resurrection, three things we need to note and recognize. First of all, it happened in history. Secondly, sin's power is broken by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Thirdly, Jesus is Lord. There is no greater power, no higher authority than Jesus, the one who was raised from the dead. The second heading we have today is our response to resurrection. That sense of, okay, what should we do about it? What should I do about it? What should you do about it? And I put up these four: baptism, relationship with God, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and repentance. But first, a reminder of the words from Acts 2. The Apostle Peter has spoken about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So what response should we make? The people on the day of Pentecost said, "Brothers, what should we do?" Having heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And what we have, firstly, is baptism. Now, I'm putting repentance in at the end, but it'll be there. Our response to resurrection, well, Peter said to the people, be baptized. Why should we be baptized? If we understand resurrection, what we are doing in baptism, we are symbolically enacting the death and resurrection of Jesus. Do you remember what I said a moment ago? Jesus lived and he died and God broke the power of sin and raised Jesus to life beyond death. The only way that you and I can hope that there won't be a full stop at the end of our life, but only a comma, and we'll be raised to life. The only way we can hope for that is if somehow we can be inside Jesus. We can be in Christ so that we too can live, die, and be raised just like he was. But we need to be in him to do that. And so in baptism, we are focusing everything that we are on that hope. And so as we are baptized, we symbolically stand in Jesus. And as we are taken down into the water, in Romans 6, the Apostle Paul talks about we have been buried with Christ. Not just us, me by myself, buried with him, because we want to be in him. And so as we're lowered into the water, we are buried with him, so that, he says, we might be raised with him. And so in baptism, we symbolically enact the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we fully accept this is the only way out of sin's destiny for us. It's the only way. Now, we might come up with other ideas and other philosophies and other religions and other spiritualities, all sorts of things. But as far as I know, there is only one who has lived, died, and been raised to life beyond death. The only hope for you and the only hope for me. Now, you can live a fantastic life. You can live a terrible life, but the destiny is the same, a full stop, death. The only way through to life beyond death, which is a bigger reality than the life we now lead, is to be in Christ. And in baptism, we say, I am in Christ. In life, in death, in life beyond death. And that's what we enact. And today, it might be that you recognize for yourself, I need to be baptized. I need to just say to myself, to God, to others, this is where I'm at, in Christ. Don't want to be anywhere else. This is my hope. All my hope is in Him. Our response to resurrection, firstly, is baptism. Secondly, we enter into relationship with God. We've submitted to baptism. We're walking, as it were, we're in the footsteps of Jesus, with Jesus, in Jesus. And we do so in the hopeful expectation that God will say the same to us as He said to Jesus. You see, when Jesus was baptized, He was enacting what was about to happen. He goes to John and is baptized by John, John the Baptist. And as He comes up out of the water, remember, a dove comes down upon Him, Spirit, and a voice comes from heaven. Powerful words, reminding Jesus, when you are dead in your grave, this is what I'll say to you. You're my son. I love you, and I'm pleased with you. So Mark is able to write, when Jesus came up out of the water, heavens opened and a voice was heard. You're my son. And we enter into relationship with God. In baptism, we're saying we want to be in Christ. There's nowhere else we can be. No hope for us otherwise. But we enter, our response to resurrection is enter into relationship with God. My hope is that not just when I die and I'm waiting for resurrection, will God speak those words, you're my son, I love you, I'm pleased with you. My hope is that He would speak them even now, as He did to Jesus, to say, when you're dead in the grave, I love you. I'll raise you. And so the Apostle Peter is able to say on the day of Pentecost, He did not abandon me to the grave. How did God raise Jesus from the dead? By the power of love. Our response to resurrection is firstly baptism. Secondly, it is we enter into relationship with God. Thirdly, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As I just mentioned, the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus following His baptism as He, early in His ministry, enacts what is about to happen, death and resurrection for Himself. And the Holy Spirit comes as a dove. And of course, the symbol of the dove is about purity, yes, but it's also about something new. Do you remember the story of Noah and the ark? And after they've endured the flood, survived the flood, at the end, it's a dove He sends out that doesn't return. Something new, creative and wonderful. And the Holy Spirit comes on Jesus like a dove. Something new, something creative is happening in Him. And for us, God gives us the Holy Spirit in order that we might live the life of resurrection. God does not give us the Holy Spirit so that we can just carry on as we are with the same values that we've always had. Baptism, we die. We're raised symbolically to life beyond death. God gives us the Holy Spirit so that the life we live right now might be the life beyond death life. a new life, a different life, where we can shake off the Hebrews chapter 12. Let us throw off everything that entangles, the sin that so easily binds us. And sometimes we need to throw off lots of values that we grew up with. And say, am I going to live like that one day? With the aggression, the bitterness, the ambition, sometimes misdirected? No, if I'm not going to live like it then, the Holy Spirit comes to me now that I might be set free and live a new life. So our response to resurrection is we are baptized. And then we enter into relationship with God. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And fourthly, lastly, repentance. And this is what we touched on last week. Everything changes. And I did this last week with these three headings, religion, society and politics, for the believers in the first century. For them, as they responded to this gospel, this good news concerning resurrection, for them, everything changed. Religion, the way they connected to society and their politics, it all changed for them on the basis that they believed God had raised Jesus from the dead. In terms of religion, this word religion, I came across the explanation recently. I think it's a really good one. What does it mean? Religion. Religion. It's a middle age, a word from the Middle Ages. Religion. And religion, about the ligaments holding everything together. Religion, it's about how we understand everything fits together. My religion, whether it's Christian, Muslim, or not a world religion, as it were, my religion is about my sense of how everything fits together. How everything fits together. And for those early disciples, everything changed. Their religion, their understanding of how everything fits together changed because Jesus has been raised from the dead. We've got to set our compass differently because Jesus has been raised from the dead. So religion, bound up with religion was society, how I fit into my community. And what does it involve? Well, it's about my status, my ambition, my employment, my prospects. Again, you know, status, ambition, employment, prospects. A lot of these we just imbibe either from our culture or from our homes, our parents, our friends. This is how you have to be in terms of status, ambition, employment, prospects or whatever. But the early disciples, believing that Jesus had been raised from the dead, well, they just put those on one side. And they said, I choose to adopt the values and ethos of Jesus, the resurrected one. And a driven ambition. Is that the way of Jesus? The clamoring for status. Is that the way of Jesus? It all changes because Jesus has been raised from the dead. So religion, society, and then politics. Their politics changed completely. Now religion and the social thing and politics, they were all bound up together. You can't really separate them. We do, but they wouldn't. They wouldn't understand what I'm talking about, separating them. They said, no, all these are bound up together completely. Politics, well, it's about our values, political groupings, support networks, patrons, those who help us get to where we want to be, assumptions about authority, power and government, and so on. And so in terms of politics, whether we live today in this country, or whether we live in Ireland or Northern Ireland or Scotland, whether we live in the United States with its vast war machine, whether we live in Israel, they're building a huge wall to separate themselves, protect themselves from the Palestinians, from terrorists. Everything changes in terms of politics if we accept Jesus is Lord. And what we normally do, is we live in a particular way. We become a Christian, but we don't fully understand resurrection. And so we carry on with the same politics as always we had, the same values as always we had, because we don't understand Jesus has died and has been raised. There's a new king in town, and I need to set my political compass by him. It infuriates me. Lots of things infuriate me. One of the things that infuriates me is when, for example, the Americans, along with lots of encouragement from the United Kingdom, we went to war when Tony Blair was Prime Minister and George Bush was President. Apparently in the name of God. Well, not the God of Jesus Christ. Yeah, the God of Caesar, but not the God of Jesus Christ. Of course, they'll claim it is, but it's not. How do we know not? Would Jesus go to war? Of course he wouldn't. Utter nonsense to think that the values of Jesus are about war. You might have heard recently, you know, the e-petitions. You can apparently petition Parliament for what they should debate. And one of the top subjects is the death penalty. What do you think about the death penalty? Never mind what you think. What would Jesus think? What would Jesus think? You see, if I accept that Jesus has been raised from the dead, there is a new king, then never mind what my parents have taught me, never mind what my culture has taught me, never mind what my community has taught me, it is all about Jesus. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. We cannot passionately believe. We cannot be. Now, you can be a Christian. You cannot be a disciple. You cannot be a follower of Jesus if you believe in the death penalty. Everything changes. Our politics change. Deeply, passionately, our political beliefs change, and it will infuriate many of you to know that. But it does. You cannot be the same if you follow Jesus. There's a new king, and he is the highest authority. So what do we have? The realities of Jesus' resurrection. It happened in history. Sin's power is broken. Jesus is Lord. Our response, well, baptism. We need to be in Christ in some way. We have a relationship with God, the hope that God will speak to us in death and say, you're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, I'm pleased with you. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that comes upon us in baptism, that we might live the life beyond death, life even now. And repentance, everything changes. Everything changes. Now, we say, you know, about repentance. You know, do you know, Ed, what a mess that would make of my life? I probably don't, actually. But you need to understand, in the first century, when the disciples, when they responded, it made a mess of their lives. Because they were utterly convicted. This is what it's about. And this has been resurrection. It's the heart of our faith. It matters more than anything